afternoon. It's 4:30 and 86 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
It's easy to prove it was arson. You can't prove it unless you got them on camera or they admit it.
Police are investigating a suspicious fire in the farmers area of Rowan County.
Work on the splash pad in downtown Moorhead is underway.
Events in downtown Moorhead may need new funding options this year.
The body of a UK student has been discovered in the Mediterranean Sea.
Kentucky State Police have identified the driver who killed a woman in Pike County last week.
In sports, former U of L basketball coach Rick Pitino is promising a tell-all memoir.
But Luke has the stock report.
Storms likely this evening with a low around 67. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Authorities are investigating a suspicious fire that happened in Rowan County yesterday. Firefighters were called to a trailer fire on U.S. 60 Sunday afternoon. The home belonged to Harvey Kissick, who is currently accused of shooting two men who were letting off fireworks near his home on July the 1st. Farmers Fire Chief Daryl Glover says at this time, no one knows what caused the blaze.
With the situation that it is, it's kind of suspicious that it would burn just 2 hours after the sheriff's department worked a burglary there.
Glover says the Rowan County Sheriff's Office is also investigating the blaze to determine if it was caused by arson.
Work on the new splash pad in Moorhead is underway. City Council accepted a revised bid from Game Time during a special meeting in mid-July. The bid included installation of the splash pad equipment, excavation of the site for the mechanical room and bathroom facilities, fill and compacting the unsuitable ground, and concrete work. The bid was just over $389,000 and passed the council unanimously. Council members were reluctant to vote on the updated bid, and tempers flared during the meeting. Mayor Jim Tom Trent told the council he has treated the project like it's his own.
I've treated this like it's my own. This is what we can afford right now, and no, it's not going to be end all. Hopefully phase two will be the lazy river. And hopefully phase three, we'll build a pool eventually right beside it. I don't know. But if I were to go get 100 feet of black plastic and stretch it down the hill and turn a garden hose on, our kids would come to play because we don't have a water feature right now in this community.
Trent says the state's determination that the ground was unsuitable and the need for an accessible bathroom facility to be built before the splash pad could be opened added to the project's cost.
Moorhead City Council has scheduled a special meeting for tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. The agenda states that the council will approve a combined restroom and mechanical facility at that splash pad we just spoke about, but it's unclear if the group will be reviewing bids for the project or approving a design of the proposed building. Also on the agenda are the first reading of an amendment to the city's stop sign ordinance and a request from the Rowan County Sheriff's Department concerning canine trials. The city council holds its regular monthly meeting on the second Monday of each month.
One Moorhead City Council candidate is concerned about how increased utility rates are affecting low-income residents. Multiple-term incumbent Tom Carew says rate increases over recent years were badly needed for continued development, but also recognizes the strain poorer individuals and families feel in paying them.
As you know, we just raised water and sewer rates, but we needed that. We needed to do that. It's what we need to do to keep Moorhead growing. But at the same time, one of my concerns is the poorest Americans, poorest Kentuckians, will have some difficulties in meeting those increased rates, especially when you combine that with the Medicaid cuts that just occurred.
Candidates were invited to speak during the July meeting of Moorhead New Cities. Also running for council seats are Paul Hitchcock, Mike Cash, Beth Owsley, Melissa Patrick, David Perkins, and Glenn Teeger. Election day is November 6th.
The executive director of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated is beginning a funding search for some popular area events. The Moorhead Tourism Commission recently released its budget, which did not include funding for a number of events and organizations. Downtown Moorhead Director Tony Pence told the Rowan County Fiscal Court during its July meeting that he could be looking to them for that money in the future.
Our grant funding pool has been tapped into to do those things, and our money obviously has been reduced that was available to do events like the antique market and hometown holidays and that sort of thing. So we're going to have to make up for that.
Pence adds he is not currently asking for funding from the court, but will first seek out private funding for events similar to the Fazoli's Freedom Fest. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, reminding citizens, civic groups, churches, and businesses to properly retire old, faded, or damaged American flags. In partnership with Advanced Disposal, Rowan County Fiscal Court has placed a collection bin inside the Rowan County Courthouse. Flags may be dropped off Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. through September 11th. More information by calling 784-6345.
A Lexington man is behind bars on arson charges. WKYT reports 23-year-old Andy Hall was arrested Saturday night. He faces five charges of arson in connection to a series of fires in the downtown Lexington area. Major Robert King with the Lexington Fire Department says if it wasn't for a trail of evidence leading to Hall's arrest, there would have been more fires.
Found some video surveillance footage. We were able to mark the subject. He didn't look like he belonged. We found him in different places. We put out that as a subject of interest, working with the Lexington Police Department. We combed the area and used a systematic approach, and we were able to locate him and take him into custody.
The fires were all set between Friday and Saturday, most in parking garages. No injuries have been reported.
The body of a missing University of Kentucky student has been discovered in the Mediterranean Sea. Family members tell LEX 18 that 19-year-old sophomore Tania Jones went missing this week after a swimming accident in Tel Aviv, Israel. She and two other students were caught in a strong current. The other two students say Jones was unable to make it back to the shoreline. Israeli officials initiated a major search and rescue effort, and family members are planning to travel to Tel Aviv as soon as arrangements can be made. Jones and the other students went to Israel as part of an education program focused on the Arabic language.
One woman has died after a shooting in Lexington late last night. WKYT reports 20-year-old Montash Jackson is charged with murder in four counts of wanton endangerment after the death of the victim. Officials say the two women knew each other. The victim, who has not yet been named, died of her injuries at UK Hospital. Jackson is lodged in the Community Corrections Facility in Lexington as police continue to investigate.
A woman is in the UK hospital in Lexington with non-life-threatening injuries after an attempted robbery. According to WKYT, police say a man came to the door of the victim's home on Cognac Drive and demanded money. When she tried to close the door on him, the man fired a shot. Officials say it is possible multiple men that were involved in the incident. Anyone with information is asked to call 859-258-3600.
Kentucky State Police have identified the driver who hit and killed a woman in Pike County last week. According to WYMT, Robin Gail Porter was walking along U.S. 119 on July 25th when a vehicle hit her. Troopers identified the driver of the vehicle as Cassie Tomblin from Logan County, West Virginia. Tomblin and her two children were taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Police are still investigating the crash.
A Catlettsburg man has been arrested on drug trafficking charges. According to the Daily Independent, the Boyd County Sheriff's Department arrested 38-year-old James Ward after two controlled buys. The citation alleges the buys involved heroin and methamphetamine. Ward is charged with two counts of first-degree trafficking in a controlled substance. He also faces charges of being a persistent felony offender and failure to appear in court.
A Boyd County pharmacist is accused of making custom pills to supply to two pill mills in West Virginia and one in Virginia. The Charleston Gazette Mill City's court documents say that Carl Odell met with the managers of an unnamed pain clinic with locations in Charleston, Raleigh County, and Withersville, Virginia, in late 2013 or early 2014. Odell is the owner and operator of Boyd County Pharmacy in Ashland, Kentucky, which was licensed to Compound Pharmaceuticals. The criminal complaint says the clinic's patients were having problems getting prescriptions filled as they weren't written for actual medical purposes. Odell agreed to make oxycodone and hydrocodone pills if the physicians wrote prescriptions for amounts not typically available commercially. Odell is charged with federal conspiracy, misrepresenting medications, and interstate commerce violations. It's unclear whether he has a lawyer.
A new report from the Kentucky Office of Drug Control Policy shows how lethal the drug problem actually is. KNN's Haley Hansen has that report.
The new report shows that over 1,500 Kentuckians died as a result of a drug overdose last year. That's an 11.5% increase compared to 2016, when 1,468 people died. Fentanyl was a factor in approximately 52% of the toxicology cases, up from roughly 47% in 2016. The report says the top five counties for deaths per capita are Kenton, Campbell, Boyd, Mason, and Jessamine County. I'm Haley Hansen.
An international group of whiskey producers met in Louisville last week to urge fair trade and the removal of tariffs. Eric Gregory, president of the Kentucky Distillers Association, says trade disputes are threatening to hurt industry sales.
The world whiskey market is large and it's growing, and we all drink one another's whiskey. Trade agreements have been enormously important to the development of this large and diverse market that consumers have chosen to create.
Representatives at the summit say they are encouraged by signs that the United States and European Union are pulling back from the brink of a trade war. Taking a look at your weather forecast for the week, tonight an 80% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a low around 67. Tuesday, a 60% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm, mostly cloudy, with a high near 80. Tomorrow night, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a low around 66. Wednesday, a 30% chance of scattered showers with thunderstorms possible after 10 a.m., mostly cloudy, with a high near 80. And Wednesday night, a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms before 10 p.m., mostly cloudy, with a low around 66. Current temperatures in your listening area are 84 degrees in Lexington, 70 degrees in Inez, 87 degrees in Ashland, 84 degrees in Paintsville, 83 degrees in Flemingsburg, and 85 degrees here in Moorhead.
On our feature segment today, the Moorhead Outdoor Theater Festival took place earlier this month. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has that story.
We cast the middle of May, and we started rehearsals June 4th, so we've been working on the show for about 5 weeks.
That's Octavia Biggs. She's the director of Shooting Stars Youth Theater and Lexington Children's Theater at Moorhead State University. She, along with the Moorhead Tourism Commission and the Kentucky Heritage Council, have been working to bring the experience of outdoor theater to the community.
Well, Moorhead Tourism, Joy Brown, was given a grant to start an outdoor theater program here in Round County. And, you know, she thought immediately of Lexington Children's Theater and thought that it would be a great way to invite families to come and experience theater. And Lexington Children's Theater is just great for family theater activities.
So that's what happened. Biggs put on a couple smaller outdoor productions, then decided to break for a year in order to save funding. That money went into the festival this year for things like turning the Moonlight stage to better accommodate the show, trash receptacles, and seating. Biggs says the pause gave the festival a better opportunity.
We used a big chunk of that money last year to help build that foundation, because the first 2 years, we saw such, after the first year, between the first and second year, between Androcles and Cinderella, we had such a big growth in audience attendance that we decided that this is something that's really awesome and can move forward and be something really cool for the community.
And while it's great for community members who choose to come enjoy the festivities, Big says it's also great for those in the production, and they tend to come back for more.
One of the very exciting things is I have a 9-year-old in the show that plays Pinocchio, and he is absolutely precious, and he's from here. His name is Alexander Hamilton, and for the last 3 years, he's been working in my Shooting Stars program and is just evolving into this wonderful young performer.
But she adds the festival wouldn't have been a possibility without a large amount of cooperation between Moorhead Tourism and MSU.
We're using the dance studio. We're building the costumes in the scene shop, or in the costume shop. We're building the set in our scene shop. We're using the theater for one of our workshops. We're using the Brown County Arts Center for one of our workshops. So we're kind of spread all out. And both tourism with the Arts Center and Morehead State University with the theater department have just been so open to letting us use and just take over this space.
Some activities had to be moved indoors due to inclement weather, but when all was said and done, over 200 people attended the event, and Big says she thinks it will only continue to grow.
And my hopes is that eventually it will be this, not a Renaissance festival, but it's just a fun way to bring families together and to keep the arts heavy in the lives of our young people.
Reporting for WMKY, I'm Tanner Boyd.
It's 4:46 and 85 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studios here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Monday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Recreation Center offers basketball and racquetball courts, fitness areas, weight and exercise equipment, indoor walking track, and swimming pool. Outdoor Adventures features camping and hiking equipment, kayaks and paddle boards for Eagle Lake and Bouldering Wall. Lockers, towel service, group fitness classes and personal training, day passes and community memberships are now available for summer 2018. More information at 783-2083.
Patino is ready to tell his story. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. Diversion Books announced today that the former Louisville coach has a memoir coming out in September that will lay all of his cards on the table. The book, which is titled Patino, My Story, is coming out on September 4th. The book will cover everything from his time coaching the New York Knicks and the Celtics to his triumphant and troubled career in the NCAA. Patino was ousted from Louisville in 2017 amid a multi-year, multi-school FBI investigation into the alleged payment of hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes and kickbacks designed to influence recruits, which resulted in Louisville losing their 2013 national title. University of Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari spent his Friday night courtside at the Kentucky Exposition Center watching one of the best prospects the state has seen in the past few years. Pendleton County basketball star Dante Allen impressed yet again at this past weekend's Louisville Jam Fest, his final event of the summer evaluation period before the recruiting calendar turns another page. The next chapter for Allen will be another visit to UK, a trip that's scheduled for Wednesday and could end up as a turning point in the 17-year-old's college recruitment. According to the Herald Leader, the Wildcats haven't signed any in-state recruits in more than 5 years. Dominique Hawkins and Derek Willis were the most recent scholarship players from Kentucky, and local fans who take special pride in local basketball haven't been shy in their wishes for Allen to end that drought. LeBron James is leaving home yet again, but he is leaving behind something that he says is more meaningful than any of his NBA championships. James, who this month ended his second stay with the Cleveland Cavaliers by signing with the Lakers, has opened a public school for challenged children in his hometown of Akron, Ohio.
And for me to be in a position where I have the resources, I have the finance, I have the people, I have the structure, and I have the city around me, well, you know, why not? It's an endless opportunity, and it's kind of bittersweet timing because on this hand, I have a brand new school that's opening, you know, and I want to be there on a day-to-day basis, you know, 10 toes down for these kids. And then on the other end, I'm moving.
That was from Uninterrupted, and the I Promise School initially will house 240 third and fourth graders. The Akron school will expand each year, adding second and fifth graders next year, and will have students from grades first through eighth by 2022. The Cincinnati Reds are coming off of a three-game winning streak following their victory at home yesterday. The Reds took 3 of 4 games in their series against the Phillies, finishing with a 4-0 win. Reds right-hander Luis Castillo only allowed 4 hits in a season-high 7 innings, but manager Jim Riggleman tells Reds.com the Philadelphia bullpen wasn't playing around either.
They're starting pitching. We didn't see Nola or Arrieta, but the four guys we saw all threw very well. So, you know, you can see why they're in first place. With that pitching and a nice lineup like that, they're going to be tough. It's going to be tough for other clubs to overtake them.
The Reds have the night off before heading to Detroit for a two-game series against the Tigers. Jaron Higginbotham, the Morehead State senior wide receiver, has been chosen to be on the official preseason All-PFL team. He racked up an impressive junior year last year with a team-best 48 passes for 974 yards and 10 touchdowns. He also averaged 20.3 yards per catch, which put him in front of the entire Pioneer League. He also ranked third on MSU's single-season chart for total yards, which was 974, as well as ranking third for a total average yards per game with 88.5. The Eagles start their season this week when fall camp begins. The 2018 campaign starts on August 30th for Morehead when they travel to take on Eastern Kentucky at 7 p.m. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops says his team is tired of being close and they want to win more games. The Wildcats are coming off of a 7-6 record last season, which included one-point losses to Florida and Northwestern in the Music City Bowl. Stoops spoke at the opening day of SEC Media Days in Atlanta.
We expect more. We've been close. We've done some good things. I'm proud of the work that we've done, but we would look forward to making a big jump this year. We returned some players with experience. We returned some talent.
UK's first game will be September 1st. They'll host Central Michigan. The Rowan County Football Vikings are hosting a media gathering tonight. The meeting was moved to 5 o'clock to beat impending weather conditions. The Rowan County team has been practicing hard since July 10th, which is when the KHSAA dead period officially ended. They are returning to action Saturday with a 6 o'clock scrimmage with Montgomery County. The Vikes start the regular season on August 17th with a home matchup with Morgan County. The Panthers suffered their second potentially significant training camp injury in 3 days as cornerback Ross Cockrell was carted off the field with a lower left leg injury. This comes just after right tackle Darrell Williams on Saturday dislocated his patella. Panthers coach Ron Rivera ended his practice today immediately after Cockrell's injury. Rivera said he didn't want to speculate on the injury until trainers had time to evaluate his CB. A former member of the Morehead State women's golf team is continuing with her success overseas. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has more.
Eagle alumna Anna Magnusson, a native of Sweden, is making a name for herself in the Swedish golf tour. Magnusson has secured victories in 2 of the 7 events she's competed in and the only player to win multiple events this season. Most recently, she won the Johannesburg Open in Rimbo, Sweden, shooting a 69, 71, and 73 over the 3-day event. She and the Swedish Golf Tour will return to action Wednesday at the Sailfast Ladies PGA Championship. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
And lastly in sports, Triple Crown winner Justify's racing career is over. Kentucky News Network's Paul Miles has the story.
And Justify!
Windstar Farm announced that Justify has been retired from racing. Trainer Bob Baffert says Justify is not responding quick enough from an ankle injury. And there's no time to train for his scheduled career finale in the Breeders' Cup Classic at Churchill Downs. Justify raced just 6 times, all as a 3-year-old, and he won every race, becoming the first undefeated Triple Crown winner since Seattle Slew. The colt will return to Kentucky next month with a possible sale to Coolmore, the stud farm that is home to 2015 Triple Crown winner American Pharoah. I'm Paul Miles.
Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagles soccer and football season tickets are now available. Soccer has 7 home games, including their home opener with Ball State on August 26th. Football has 6 home games and hosting Mount St. Joseph on September 8th. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell as a steep decline in technology shares that started last week carried over to today's trading. And at the close, the Dow Industrials showed a loss of 144.23 at 25,306.83. The S&P 500 was down 16.22 at 2802.60. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 107.42 or 1.39% at 76.30. And the tech-heavy NASDAQ was in particular pressured by weakness in shares of Facebook, Netflix, Google parent Alphabet, and Amazon, as all were down very sharply, with Netflix the worst hit today with a drop of almost 6%. The NASDAQ also notched a three-day drop of 3.86%, its biggest since late March. Twitter shares dropped 8% and were among the biggest decliners in the S&P 500 today. Take-Two Interactive, Electronic Arts, and Akamai Technologies all also pulled back very sharply, at least 5%. And, of course, Twitter shares were under pressure as a result of last week's earnings report. Trade worries also rattled investors after Reuters reported that Canada, the European Union, Japan, Mexico, and South Korea will meet next week to discuss a response to threats made by President Trump about slapping tariffs on U.S. auto imports. Tyson Foods lowered its fiscal year earnings forecast, citing uncertainty around trade policies and tariffs, and shares of the stock dropped more than 7.5%. Caterpillar said in its second quarter earnings report that recently imposed tariffs will shave off between $100 and $200 million from its bottom line in the second half. The company also reported better-than-expected earnings and raised its full-year outlook. However, the stock dropped 2% in today's trading. American Express shares fell almost 3% after it was reported that the company lured small business customers with low foreign exchange conversion rates, only to raise rates later without notifying the customers. Visa fell 3% after Kroger said its California subsidiary will stop accepting Visa credit cards, citing high payment fees and rates. In the commodities markets, oil was up almost 2%, finishing at $70.02 a barrel. Gold was down 0.2% at $1,220.30 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index down 0.3%. And in Asia, stocks were also weak, with the Nikkei down 0.75%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.25%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Merck and Chevron, while the worst performers were Visa and American Express. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Franklin Resources and Invesco, while the worst performers were Twitter and Take-Two Interactive. Turning now to local stocks, it was Ashland Global down 85 cents at 81.76, CSX up 2 cents at 70.29, AEP down 74 cents at 70.40, AK Steel up 10 cents at 5.35, Marathon Petroleum up 52 cents at 81.51, and Kroger was up $1.02 to finish at 29.72. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one- and two-numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, Coffee Tree Books in Moorhead will host a reading and book signing by author Silas House at 6 p.m. tomorrow. The award-winning author will read and sign copies of his new book, Southernmost, during the event.
The First Friday Outdoor Market will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. on Friday, August 3rd, on the lawn of the Rowan County Arts Center. Items made locally in Moorhead and Rowan County, including arts and crafts, food, and homegrown produce. Nearby parking, free admission, and vendor spaces are available. More information at 783-9857.
The Rowan County Public Library is getting ready for the upcoming school year. Through August 5th, the library will provide resource information, coloring books, activity pads, and school supplies to Rowan County children. Parents may pick up one packet per child at the children's area during library hours. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition today. We had help from Joe Lewis, Jacob Lindberg, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. KNN's Haley Hansen and Hilliard Lyons' Bug Luke chipped in. And our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Tanner Boyd. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.